Grace to you and peace from God who is, who was, and who is to come. Amen. So it's been a bit of a week in the Brock household, although quite probably not for the reasons that some of you are thinking. At the risk of sharing too much information, many of you might be aware that my mom moved here to central Pennsylvania just a few years ago. After she and my dad both retired, they took care of his parents until both of them had passed, and then my parents eventually moved down to Florida. They lived there for several years. My dad passed away. Mom chose to stay there in Florida with all of her friends and her doctors. But then a few years later, she had a stroke, and that's when she decided she really wanted to be living near family. And so her choices were here in central Pennsylvania or up in northern Wisconsin, where my sister lives. After 17 years in Florida, I think she made the rather rational decision. And she said, winters are probably warmer in central Pennsylvania than they are in Wisconsin. Maybe. So Mom's been here now about 2.5 years. She joined Trinity, has met many of you and become friends, and I'm very thankful for that. And really, there is a point to all of this. Bear with me. So my sister came to visit last week, which she has done rather frequently in the last couple of years. I also need to add that I feel that our parents have been very good about treating the two of us equally, especially when it comes to finances. They have, in my opinion, oftentimes gone above and beyond, making sure that one does not receive more than the other. So we're out in the parking lot. My sister, she was going to leave on an early morning flight, so we're hugging, we're saying our goodbyes, and my sister says to me, "Thank you for everything that you do for Mom." And because I do try to serve my mom to the best of my abilities. I handle her finances. I do her laundry. I bring her to doctor appointments. I nag my son to get up early on Sunday mornings to bring her here to worship. We go out to eat just about any time that she wants to. I try to get over to her apartment several times during the week, and on those days that I don't get over there, I try to remember to give her a phone call just to see how her day's going. And I'm not saying all that to give myself accolades. I'm just saying, you know, this is what I do to try to serve my mom. So my sister says to me, "Thank you for everything that you do for Mom," to which I, as the snarky younger brother that I am, simply respond, "I'm getting 3/4 of the inheritance." Now, that's a real long build-up to our 2 Thessalonians lesson, but I do think they tie together, and as Paul is talking about service. You see, the folks there in Thessalonica, like all believers, are waiting for Jesus to return. Not only in the first century, but even today, we're waiting for Jesus to come back, to gather us together, bring us to heaven. That whole idea goes by the Greek word parousia. See, you learned something here. Parousia. You can go around saying, "Oh yes, I'm waiting for the parousia." You'll sound really spiff. But we're waiting for Jesus to return. Except that the people in Thessalonica expected it to happen soon. Like by the end of the year soon, like before the end of the month soon, like before lunch soon. Because a lot of these believers had been alive when Jesus had been killed. And so they all pretty much assumed that he was going to come back in their lifetime. And when they remembered the things that Jesus had said, like what we heard in Luke's gospel reading this morning, and they were looking around them at all of the stuff that was going on in their world, they were getting excited because they thought that the things that were going on were a fulfillment of what Jesus had said. So they were expectant. They were waiting for Jesus to be here right now. And that attitude got so pervasive throughout the congregation there in Thessalonica that people quit their jobs. They stopped their normal everyday activities and simply sat around waiting. They stopped doing things like paying the bills or doing laundry or going to their jobs and earning a wage, because who needs money because Jesus is coming back? They were waiting. They were waiting for Jesus to return, waiting for Jesus to bring them joy and peace. Maybe they were waiting to sit around playing harps. We don't know for sure. But while they waited with no jobs, not doing anything to help others, they did what a lot of us humans are prone to do, which is goof off, gossip, not be helpful. And perhaps worse, they started depending upon the fewer and fewer believers who actually were still working, those who were still bringing in a wage, earning money to pay for food, clothing, housing. So Paul feels he has to do some dope slapping. Knock it off, Paul says. You didn't learn this from us. Get your acts together and at the very least support yourself. All right, that's the Brock paraphrase. Other translations may actually vary. But for Paul, if you are able, then you are called. For Paul, if you have the ability, then you have the duty. Now, we do know that not all of us are good at everything. Each of us has been gifted in a different manner. What I understand Paul to mean here is that if you're able to serve the Lord in whatever capacity that you are talented in, then that's what the Lord is calling you to do. Conversely, if you have a talent and or ability and aren't doing anything, or worse, sitting around purposefully not serving, then seriously? You call yourself a believer, yet you're sitting around idling, chatting, not doing anything to help yourself, or worse, to not help those who are in need? Paul said, anyone unwilling to work should not eat. Now, it doesn't mean that we have to do big, showy venues of faith. We can serve in all kinds of ways. We can serve our family members. To help those in need means that, well, maybe we go to one of those areas that's been ravaged by wildfires or damaged by hurricanes or where they're trying to dig out from flooding and help those people literally rebuild their homes and their lives. It can also mean maybe we go to those areas and just help provide meals for folks or give childcare while others more capable are doing the actual physical rebuilding. Maybe it means that you stay here at home, but you head up a campaign to raise funds or clothing or food for people who have lost it all or for those who are aiding in the rebuilding. It can mean that you serve God, that you're a witness to your faith by being a lector here at church. Lectors are the ones who read the scriptures or just assist with communion. Maybe you can share your talent of a musical instrument or even just help to cook or clean up when we have one of our meals. To work, in Paul's sense, means that you go tutor a child. You visit someone who can't get out anymore. You go grocery shopping for a member who's just had surgery. And don't tell me that you're too old, because you can always pick up a phone and just call another person who can't get out and say, hi, I was just thinking of you. I wanted to just call and see how your day was going. Don't tell me that you're too young, because you can always be a friend to that kid at school who doesn't have any other friends. All of us are capable of serving God, of doing something, somehow, in some way. To serve God takes many different forms. So which one is yours? Amen.